good. If you take your Bible, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. While you're finding your place, how many of you last week went and saw War Room? We took 400 people from Citronelle and surrounding areas, and I was talking to Tim a minute ago. He said he saw on the internet where War Room has brought in more revenue than they expected, and I've got a report from Alex Kendrick that I want you to see, and I want you to listen because he tells some stories of some things God is doing because of the movie War Room. So listen to this for just a moment.
Say thank you to all those that came out and supported us over the opening weekend. War Room is the number one new movie in theaters this past weekend. And it's because of you. We prayed that God would stir hearts and bring them out. We're hearing incredible reports from the responses to the movie. There was a couple that left the movie together. The husband in the hallway outside the theater fell to his knees and apologized to his wife that he'd been married to for decades for several things that had happened in their marriage. A church group leaving the theater saw this happen and circled up around them and began praying for them. They said it was an incredible moment. Two other incidences. There was an African-American church and a predominantly white church leaving the theater at the same time. They met in the lobby, began talking, a prayer time broke out, and then they started praising God with song in the atrium of this theater, linking arms and praying together with the theater employees going, "What in the world is going on here?" It was like a church service. Yet another group said that spontaneous prayer broke out in the theater as the movie was finishing, and patrons that had bought tickets were gathering together among the seats and praying together for God to do something incredible in their city. That's the type of response that we were hoping for. We hope to see much more of it. So many of you brought your friends and your neighbors, your coworkers, inviting them to minister to them, and we're seeing God do incredible things. One sweet elderly lady saw a young man buying a ticket to another rated R movie. She took him by the arm and said, "Sugar, I want you to come with me. I'm going to buy your ticket to see this movie, War Room." We know this because after the movie impacted this young man so much, he contacted us and wrote to us, thanking us for making this movie that touched his heart. So we thank you for all that you're doing. We praise God. You know, we can make a movie, but God is touching hearts as only He can do. So we thank our team and we thank you. Already, our distributor is making plans to add hundreds of more sites this coming weekend and in the following weeks so more people can see this film. So we praise God for that. Pray with us that God would call His people back to Him. And the final thing, 61 people so far that we know of have put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ right after seeing the movie. They've notified us, or a pastor that led them to the Lord notified us, and so we know this. So 61 so far, we're praying for hundreds more. So we praise God. He gets all credit and glory. And I want to say thank you to you on behalf of my brother Stephen, my brother Shannon, and our whole team that helped us make War Room and put it out there. God bless you. Let's keep fighting.
I don't know about you, but that's incredible. And we need to be getting behind everything that God is doing to move and impact people's lives. Now, I want to ask you this morning, we're going to dive into our scripture in just a moment. How many of you can remember when you were growing up that you had a childhood hero? Could have been fictional, anything. Anybody have a hero? Who was your hero, Randy?
Batman,
all right. Anybody else? Who? What? The Lone Ranger. John Wayne. Okay. Good one. Mine was Superman. I thought Superman was so cool. Anybody else have a hero? Were we that short on heroes? Yes, sir. The Flash. Okay. Listen. Yes, ma'am. Elvis. Now, there'd be some more that would have to admit that he was their hero. All right. You know, I think back to when I was a kid and some of the heroes we had, Batman, Superman, even Elvis. And we admired these people. And they gave us a standard that we could say, you know, I want to be like that when I grow up. I can remember, do y'all remember that Superman, at one point in the saga of Superman, he couldn't tell a lie. That was the early Superman. Do you remember? And what I'm trying to say is, you look around us today, especially at our younger generation, we're sorely lacking on heroes. And the heroes we do have are not very good role models, are they? And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning. I want us to look at 2 Samuel, and this is talking about the mighty men that served with King David. And that's what I want us to look at this morning. So look with me in verse 8 of 2 Samuel 23, and it starts out this way. These are the names of David's mighty men. These are the names of David's mighty men. Now I want to ask the question, what does it take to be mighty? And now, these guys were, as we're going to see, they were awesome in battle. Does it mean that you're just stronger than everybody else? You see, I believe the fact that they're there in the Scripture and that they followed King David, how do we know that David was described? What was his description? A man after God's own heart. And can I tell you something? These mighty men, by the way, the Scripture tells there were 30 mighty men. And then out of those 30, there were three that were particularly mighty men. And we're going to be looking at those in just a minute. What does it take to be a mighty man or a mighty woman? And we've talked here recently about being mighty in God's Spirit. And it's more than just outward strength. And I want us to see that this morning. And I want to tell you something. We need some heroes today. We need some men and women that will stand up and say, I am choosing to be mighty in God's Spirit. I am going to live by the standard so that people that watch my life will know that there is a God in Israel or a God in this world. We need people that will make that decision. But it's not easy to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. It's a whole lot easier just to be pretty good. What I want to do is challenge you this morning to say within your own heart, I am not going to settle for anything less than being a mighty man or a mighty woman in God's sight. Now let's look at how it describes these. Well, first off, let me tell you, I heard some examples this week. I almost forgot to share this. When I talk about being a mighty man or a mighty woman, I saw two examples this week of what I think it really looks like to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God. First off, did you read where the Army Rangers have opened their Ranger School to women? Because they had two women that graduated in kind of a test case last month. Does that make you a mighty man or a mighty woman? Not necessarily, does it? There's something more that's needed. Now, let me tell you who I think was a mighty woman of God. There was a woman in Kentucky County, in Kentucky, that stood up and said, did you know, by the way, that she was a second generation county clerk? Her mother was the county clerk before her. And when they said, you have to write marriage licenses for same-sex couples, she said, I'm not going to do it. She could have said, I quit. She could have done anything, but she stood up and said, I am the clerk of this county and I am not going to write same-sex marriage licenses. Can I tell you something? I think it takes something internal, something in your spirit to make you bold enough to take a stand like that. Did you know she's in jail right now, in contempt of court? And she has been willing to go to jail for what she believes in. Now, she's had all kind of slander that's come out. Well, she was married four times. How can she take this kind of a stand? But I'll tell you what, she is standing on what God's word says, and she's saying, I cannot have my name as the county clerk on a license for a same-sex couple. I think she is proving to be a mighty woman of God. Now, look with me at what this says. These are the names of David's mighty men. Jehoshabeth, you're going to have to pardon me with these words. Somebody want to try this for me? Tachmonite. There you go, Randy. He was the chief of the three. Now, we're talking about these three special mighty men. He raised his spear against 800 men whom he killed in one encounter. Now, let me say something to you. Here we hear about this guy, and he was called a mighty man. And as we go on through this story, you're going to hear that these men became famous. They became the thing legends were made of. And this man went out against 800 men and slew them. I mean, this is incredible. And let me tell you, the first thing that I learned out of the story, if you decide you're going to be mighty in God's spirit, I love what the King James calls a mighty men of valor. I love that. Because there's something more than just being strong. I want you to picture this a moment. This is one guy that defeated 800 men. Do you realize we would be hard-pressed to get 800 people in this room if we brought out every chair we had and could pack this place out? We'd be hard-pressed to get 800 people in here. That's a lot of people. And yet this one guy stood against 800 men. And here's the lesson I think that we're seeing here. If you decide, I'm going to be mighty in God's spirit, can I tell you, you are setting yourself up to always have the odds stacked against you. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you decide you're going to be mighty in God's spirit, let me tell you, everything you do is going to have opposition. There are always going to be those that are ready to tear you down. You are setting yourself up to always have the odds against you. Are you ready to take on a challenge like that? Now, let me tell you what I think about this guy. What was his name? Yeah, let's just call him Joseph. Joseph. That's good enough. Here's Joseph. He goes out against these men. Now, let me ask you something. Do you think for a second that Joseph faced these 800 men thinking, I'm big, I'm tough, I can handle this? I don't think so. I don't think Joseph could stand against these 800 men in his own strength. You know what? See, he was a follower of King David. And we're going to see how much so that they thought of King David a little later in the story. David was a man after God's own heart. Don't you think that David's relationship with God would have rubbed off on all these guys that were so committed to him? You remember what David did when he faced Goliath? He said, you come to me with clubs and spears, but I come to you in the name of my God. Amen. You see, I think Joseph realized, I am here, and God is with me. Can I tell you something? One man against 800 sounds impossible. But one man with God standing against 800 is easy. You see, if you're going to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, you got to realize that God is going to be standing with you. And that means you're making a commitment to always be that kind of man or woman, that God will always be your defense. So here's this guy Joseph, and he goes against these 800 men, and the odds are against him. And yet he defeats them in the name of the Lord. Now let's go on with the story. Let me mention one more thing. I pulled a scripture out here. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, if the world hates you, keep in mind that it hated me first. If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, You do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, and that's why the world hates you. Those are the words of Jesus. And what that tells me is if you decide you're going to stand on God's side no matter what, and that you're going to be mighty in God's spirit, the odds are always going to be against you. This world's going to be against you. And you see, there are some people that call themselves Christians that have decided in their heart that's not worth it. I'd rather compromise and get along with the world and have it easier. Well, let's look at this next guy. It's found in verse 9. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahohite. And as one of the three mighty men, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pass Damim for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines. Now I want you to imagine this. First off, it tells us they taunted the Philistines. They mocked them, made fun of them. They got what they were asking for. Can you see that? This wasn't like, well, we're just standing here and they came and attacked us. So they start teasing these Philistines, and the Philistines decide to attack them. And look what happens. The army flees. And they leave this one guy standing there, Eleazar, and it says he struck down the Philistines. Again, how do you do that by yourself? I don't think it's possible. It's only in the Spirit of God that you're going to be able to stand when the odds are totally against you. And look, here's what I want you to see. Not only that, but often if you decide to be a man or a woman of God, often you're going to find yourself having to stand alone. And that's exactly what happened to this guy. Everybody else left, and he had to face the enemy on his own. But let me tell you something about standing alone. If you're a child of God, there will never, ever be a case where you'll have to stand by yourself. Because there is one who will always stand with you. And that's the Lord Jesus. But the problem is, sometimes we get convinced, we allow the devil to convince us that that's not enough. Really? We need to be a mighty man or a mighty woman in God. That's why we don't have many mighty men anymore. That's why we don't have mighty women anymore, because we're just not convinced that God is enough to stand with us when the odds are overwhelming. Y'all, there's some of you that tomorrow there's going to be a problem that's dropped in your lap. And you're going to be tempted to go, what do I do? Why is this happening to me? And the devil will tempt you to forget that there's one that's always standing with you. He will be with you no matter what you go through. Now look what it says. In verse 10, well, let's go back. Eleazar, son of Dodai the Ahohite, was as one of the three mighty men. He was with David when they taunted the Philistines, gathered at Pass Damim for battle. Then the men of Israel retreated, but he stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. And the Lord brought about a great victory that day, and the troops returned to Eleazar, but only to strip the dead. Now, think about this just a second. Who does it say gave the victory? The Lord gave the victory. Eleazar didn't. He just put himself in the place where God could use him. Can I tell you something? You may look at yourself and you may say, there's no way that I can win this battle. There's no way that I can defeat this enemy that's coming up against me. There's no way that I can get through this circumstance that has fallen upon me. And can I tell you, you may be right. But when God gets involved in the picture, there's always a way. Don't ever stand up and say, well, look what I did. I made it through. I beat the enemy. You know what? The Lord's the one that gives the victory. And that's exactly what happened with Eliezer. But there's a couple other interesting things here. Look what it says. He fought till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. Can you just imagine that for a minute? Haven't you ever, I remember working on my house and either using a hammer or a shovel and my hand getting numb because I'd been swinging that hammer. And by the way, I'm the world's worst comparison for doing something like that. But I remember my hand getting numb, and I could almost not even feel the hammer because I'd been swinging it so much, which probably wasn't that much. Some of you have worked in a field or have done work at your house and gotten so tired that you didn't know how you could go any further. Can you imagine this man defeating the enemy so much so that his hand, he can't let go of his sword. His hand cramps up. And he can't even let go of his sword. Can I tell you what? There's some of us that you get so tired. You get so weary that sometimes you're ready to give up. Sometimes you're ready to say, this just isn't worth it. This is too hard. It's hard to live for Jesus. It's hard to be a mighty man or a mighty woman. It'll wear you out. But it's when we recognize that it is worth the battle that it will make the difference. This guy fought till his hand froze to the sword. Look what else it says. It says the troops returned to Eliezer. Okay, all these guys come back. You remember they fled. Now they come back. You know, he starts fighting in the battle and they're going to come help him, right? No. Look what it says. The troops returned to Eliezer, but only to strip the dead. You see, in that day, if you went to battle against an enemy and you defeated them, any of their stuff was yours. Any money they had, any weapons they had, any armor, any horses, any livestock, all that became yours. So here comes all the rest of the army that ran away, and they come back after the enemy's already dead, and they say, okay, we're going to get our share of the spoils. Can I tell you something? Sometimes to be mighty in God's spirit means that you'll be taken advantage of. And wouldn't you agree with me that Eliezer deserved anything that the enemy army had? But yet, look what happened. We're not told that Eliezer pitched a fit. I don't believe with anything in me, because I think David, a man after God's own heart, had rubbed off on him enough that he was like, no, I won this battle for my army, and they're welcome to whatever they want to have. Can you imagine a man having that kind of character? Here comes the army running back to get the spoils of war, even though they didn't have enough guts to fight the battle. Can I tell you something? I see Christians that way. I see Christians that claim the name of Christ, but when the battle is drawn, they run away. They chicken out, but then they want all the benefits that come with being a child of God. Y'all, we need to look at ourselves and realize that's not being a mighty man or woman of God. That's not what it looks like. Let's go on with the story here. Next to him, verse 11. Next to him was Shammah, son of Agee, the Hararite. And when the Philistines banded together at a place where there was a field full of lentils, Israel's troops fled from them. But Shammah took his stand in the middle of the field. He defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Anybody ever eaten lentils? Anybody know what lentils are? I ate some last week. Vicky made a dish with lentils in it. They're kind of like a scrawny little black-eyed pea. And this was a lentil field. Now, what I want you to understand, this field was food for the Israelites. If they let this field be captured, who knows how much that would impact their food supply. So here they are, they're in this lentil field, the enemy attacks, and Israel does again what they did with that other guy. Don't you think these three mighty men of God might be saying, you know what? This army's pitiful. I'm not going to fight for these guys anymore. Do you ever feel that way about other Christians? It's real easy to see the faults that other people have, isn't it? And it's real easy to say, you know what? I don't want to worship with them anymore. Do you know what? I was talking to somebody this week, and I was saying what you've heard me say before, that I think the worst testimony we can have as Christians is when we get upset with one another and we have church splits. What does that look like to the world? When we're supposed to have Jesus living in our heart that says, love your enemies, pray for those that persecute you, and we can't even get along with one another. So here is Shammah in the middle of this lentil field. The army flees again, leaves him out there by himself, but he wasn't alone, was he? God was with him, and the Lord gave the victory, and he defended this field of lentils against the enemy. And God once again gave the victory. Can I tell you something? There's a reason why we need mighty men and women of God, and I want you to hear this if you don't hear anything else I say. We need some men right here this morning that will decide, I'm going to be a mighty man of God. No matter what the odds are, no matter if everybody around me flees, no matter if all my friends let me down, I'm going to stand for God. We need some women that will say, I'm going to be a mighty woman of God, and I'm going to stand no matter what the odds are, and I will stand no matter who stands with me. Let me tell you why we need that today. Because there are those that need defending. Listen to me, there are people that have not made their choice for Christ yet. There are people that need to know that God is real and God is alive and that God loves them. And they need to have their chance to choose Jesus defended by those that know what it means to choose Christ. We have something to defend. Jesus said the fields are white unto harvest, but where are the laborers? Jesus was saying we need some mighty men and women of God that will get out here and start reaping a harvest of those whose hearts are so close. We need to realize there are souls that hang in the balance. And your decision to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God may be the decision that changes that balance in someone's soul. That's why we've got something to defend. And that is the right of a lost person to find Jesus. If you don't do it, who will? There's lost people that need to know how much God loves them. Let's go on with the story. Now, it's told about these three mighty men. Joab, Joseb, Eliezer, and Shammah. Now, I want you to look. It goes on with this story about these mighty men in verse 12. During the harvest time, three of the 30 chief men came down to David at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. Now you can picture this, can't you? They're stuck in a cave, their provisions are running low, they're out of water. And haven't you been there, man, I'd love to go back such and such and get a bite of that dessert I had, or, you know, that, you're just kind of talking about dreaming for a second, daydreaming. And David says, boy, what I wouldn't give for a drink of water from that pool at the Bethlehem, pool at Bethlehem. So look what he says. Oh, that someone would get me a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. So the three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. Is that not incredible? I mean, David just, he's not asking anybody to do anything. He isn't ordering these men to do it. He's just stating a desire of his soul. He said, man, it's hot here. It's thirsty. We're surrounded. Boy, wouldn't I'd give anything for a drink of water from that Bethlehem pool. And these three men break through the enemy lines and go get water out of this pool and bring it back to David. Now, here's the thing I want to say about a mighty man or woman of God. You don't have to ask him to serve God. You don't have to. They're not going to wait until somebody says, hey, here's what you need to do. They're not even going to wait till God explicitly necessarily tells them, here's what you got to do. You know what? They're ready to do whatever they sense is at the tip of God's tongue. They're ready to do whatever they can that they believe is going to glorify God. I look at this and it just amazes me. Now look what happened. Remember that David is the one that's influencing all these mighty men. And there's 30 mighty men, and then there's these three really mighty men. And look what happens. So the three mighty men broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. Far be it from me, O Lord, to do this, he said. Is it not the blood of men who went at the risk of their lives? And David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the three mighty men. Do you see the honor in David's heart? And don't you think that these mighty men looked at David and said, I want to be like him. And there was an honor in their hearts to do the right thing. Can I tell you something? The devil often gives us illegal water to drink. And the rest of the world will say, there's nothing wrong with that. But God says, if you want to honor me, there's something wrong with it. Now, I can't tell you what that looks like in your life, but I can tell you the devil loves to put us in that position. When a true man or woman of valor, of honor, would say, I can't do this. Others may, but I cannot. That's the cry of a mighty man or a mighty woman of valor. Now look what happened. Verse 18. Abishai, the brother of Joab, son of Zeruiah, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed, and so he became as famous as the three. Was he not held in greater honor than the three? He became their commander, even though he was not included among them. Now, you know what I think about this guy? This is not one of these three mighty men. He became their commander. But it's interesting, it says he wasn't included among these three. Can I tell you something else I see about Christians? Sometimes we have the opportunity to be a mighty man or a mighty woman of God, but then we don't get the recognition we think we deserve. We don't get included in the clique that maybe we want to be a part of. And so we give up. You know, do you see in this story, can you read between the lines and understand that Abishai could have said, you know what? Those three mighty men, everybody talks about them. I don't want to have anything to do with them. They're just stuck up. All they think is that they do all the work for everybody else. Couldn't he have had that attitude? Isn't that the attitude we have sometimes? But I love this, how the scripture says that didn't he become as famous as the three, even though he was not included among them? You see, it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks. What matters is what God thinks. You see that? Now I want to close with this. I want to ask you a question. What would it look like for you to be a mighty man of God or you to be a mighty woman of God? What would that look like in your life? I just want you to think about that for a second. Now, I want you to realize something. David had many, many soldiers that followed him. Out of all this multitude, probably thousands upon thousands of soldiers. And don't you know that among those thousands and thousands of soldiers, there were probably many really good soldiers, right? But out of these thousands and thousands of soldiers, there were 30 men that really stood out. And out of these 30 men, there were three that even stood out more, maybe four if you're going to count Abishai, that stood out even more. Listen, you know what's wrong with a lot of people in church today? We're satisfied to be, as long as I'm part of the thousands on thousands, I'll be happy. We are happy to get lost in the crowd rather than to decide to be a mighty man or woman of God. And so what I want to ask you this morning, what is your heart's desire? See, here's the thing. I started off by saying we need some heroes. Can I tell you, we are in desperate need of some heroes. I mean, we're in pitiful shape when it comes to role models in this world today. Our children need to be able to look up at people they know and say, I know that's a man of God and I want to be like that. I know that's a woman of God and I want to be like her. They need to have somebody they can look up to. We have a famine. We have an epidemic in America, particularly today, of men and women that will stand, even especially when it's hard. You understand? Anybody can stand when it's easy. But when the odds are against you, when everybody else is left, we need some men and women that will stand for what is right no matter what. And we need our younger generation to witness that. And yet we're happy enough to get lost in the thousands upon thousands rather than to be a mighty man or woman of God. I'm challenging this morning because I think we have some mighty men, mighty women, candidates sitting right here. I call them candidates because we may already have some mighty men and mighty women, but they wouldn't think they were. Listen. You might say, well, my standing up for what is right and taking a stand no matter what, I mean, our world is going down the tubes. What good is it going to do? Well, my answer to that is it's got to start somewhere, right? And who knows that you're deciding that you're going to take a stand no matter what may not affect your neighbor. May not affect that person that's watching you, and they'll decide, I want to take a stand like that. We need some mighty men and mighty women of God. And let me tell you one last thing, and then I'm going to close. Do you know what I believe is in the heart of every man? Guys, I think even from the time you were a little boy, I think there's a deep desire to be a mighty man of God. We might not have known what it even looked like. You know, we played the cowboys and Indians when we were kids and we wanted to be the hero. What we didn't understand, that desire was birthed in our soul by the Spirit of God, because God wants you to be a mighty man in His name. And can I tell you something? I believe that God wants you to be a mighty man of God. The problem is we don't believe it. The problem is we've listened to the lies of this world saying you'll never be mighty in God's Spirit. And we just don't believe it enough. This morning, I'm going to ask you, men here, to decide, that's me. It may not have been in the past, but from this day forward, this is the kind of man I'm going to be. I'm asking for some women here. You know what? I believe God birthed in your heart to be the heroine, to be the one that's going to stand for Him no matter what. We listen to stories in the Scriptures about great women of God, like Esther, who stood against the odds, put her life on the line to do what God would have her to do, like Mary. Mary's awesome. Mary said, Lord, be it unto me as you have said. Lord, you do whatever you want with me. What about you today? Are you willing to say, I'm not going to settle for mediocre anymore? I want to be the man of God that God wants me to be. that God birthed a desire in my heart to be. And I'm not going to listen to the lies of the devil in this world anymore that it's impossible. Because there's some of you here today that you're saying in your heart, it's impossible. I'm just not strong enough. I'm too weak. Give it all the excuses you want to. The truth is, with God, anything is possible. It just depends on if you're willing. I believe these men of God, it was impossible what they did. And it was only possible because God was with them. Let's pray together. Father, my prayer this morning is that you would just challenge our hearts, because I believe there's men here this morning. They know you want something better than what they've accepted. And Lord, it's time for them to quit settling for what they can do and start demanding what is impossible, but knowing that it is possible through Jesus Christ. I'm praying for women here. Lord, we got all kind of reasons why we haven't been the women of God we ought to be. But God, today is a day of decision. Help us to quit listening to the whispers of the devil that says, there's no way you can do that. God, help us to start trusting, knowing that there's nothing we can't do when your Spirit is with us. Lord, we love you this morning. We want to be the church. We want to be the families. We want to be the men and women that will change this city for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.